Our leadoff speaker for this second part of the conference is Jay Frischman, and he is going to talk to us about the groundwater level monitoring network for the 11-county metro area. Jay works for the Minnesota DNR, Division of Ecological and Water Resources. Since 1985, he has been actively involved with aquifer testing, well interference investigations, water supply studies, and surface water groundwater interaction studies. He is currently project manager for the 11-county Metropolitan Monitoring Initiative. And with that, I will turn the floor over to Jay.
Good morning. As many point out, my name is Jay Frischman, and I'm the project manager for the 11-County Metropolitan Groundwater Level Monitoring Network. We do need an acronym, and I'm going to have to hold a contest for that. First of all, a little background. This project evolved from recommendations presented in the 2009. document titled Plan to Develop a Groundwater Level Monitoring Network for the 11-County Metropolitan Area. This document was developed for the Minnesota Legislature with input from a work group of 25 groundwater professionals, most of which are in this room. This document recommended the construction of a backbone network designed for long-term groundwater level monitoring of 380 wells, including at least 60 well nests. The proposed network was assigned an estimated price tag of $9 million, and the project was funded with $5 million. Objective 1, construct a water level monitoring network that is robust enough to, quote-unquote, ensure that water use in the metropolitan area does not harm ecosystems, degrade quality, or compromise the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. To accomplish this goal, we have been expanding the existing monitoring network, which at the time the document was written consisted of approximately 200 observation wells. This map shows the locations of the wells in the 2009 network. The thing that's worth noting is the distribution here. For instance, Sherburne County, which is on the far northwest corner, has 18 wells, and Carver, on the other hand, has one well, which is obviously a little bit of a problem when you're trying to cover the whole area. DNR staff have completed an inventory of the active monitoring wells within the metro area. Based upon this inventory, a number of wells have been identified for redevelopment, repair, modification, or sealing. 40 to 50 of the wells, and keep in mind we have 200 at the time, so about 20 to 25% of these wells within the network are in need of some form of maintenance. Last winter, at a cost of $46,000, we sealed a flowing Mount Simon observation well that was in our network. This well was drilled in the 1980s, and it was identified as a problematic well over the last two decades. The cost of this well sealing highlights the need for an ongoing revenue stream to maintain a network once it is put into place. While the groundwater work group was toiling over the above referenced document, Jim Berg and Scott Pearson, operating with LCCMR funds, began constructing Mount Simon observation wells along the western edge of the formation. The latest phase of this project, funded with bonding and legacy funds, has included the installation of 12 deep wells in the metro area. On this map, the red dots indicate the wells that have been drilled to date. They started down here and worked their way up, and the black and gray dots are planned future sites. In fact, as we speak, they're completing a well over here at Afton State Park for us. Before the Mount Simon drilling sunsets this next year, Mr. Berg plans to install another 9 to 12 Mount Simon wells, I should say, in the metro area. 11 county metro funds will be used for installation of wells in the aquifers and geologic formations overlying the Mount Simon aquifer. At the current funding level, I hope to install between 60 to 75 bedrock wells. In this picture here, the light blue dots are existing wells that are active, and the red squares along here are the sites that Jim will be working on, and the diamonds are going to be just additional well sites that I hope to get to, which do not have Mount Simon wells in existence already. In the hope to meet the goals of multiple network partners, we are coordinating with installations in a number of state and federal agencies. These goals, in no particular order, include monitor surface water groundwater interactions, the investigation of hydrologic properties of aquifers, monitor the interaction between aquifers, fill in monitoring gaps identified during the last metro-wide USGS synoptic water level measurement, collect transient data sets for use in calibration of future modeling efforts, and monitor effects of climatic variability. In the past, observation wells were added to the network as they became available. Over the past several years, criteria for siting and construction of wells have been developed internally and are now applied to all new drilling sites. These criteria include the following. site access. This is especially important as you're developing or planning to drill multiple wells. The footprint, sometimes we've been able to do within approximately 20-some feet of each other. I have the site in Dakota County where we had to spread them out over approximately 100 feet. Target potential, does the target formation exist at the site? I've had the luxury with the drilling I've done so far, Jim Berg's work with the Mount Simon wells, we already have a known geology there, and so when I spec out the wells, I have pretty good control and I can get the best deal for the by specing out really tight drilling plans. Site safety and security. This includes consideration of underground utilities, the potential for vandalism, potential liability along, for instance, we've drilled along the loose line, which obviously you've got bike trails there and parking lots, and so we don't want to cause damage to people or vehicles, whether it's bikes or cars or things as such. Well construction. In general, we have now settled on the install of wells with no smaller than 4-inch diameter on bedrock wells and no smaller diameter than 2-inch for glacial wells, steel or stainless materials for the bedrock, and steel or PVC material for glacial wells. And then finally, ownership. Historically, we would locate wherever we could gain access. Now, we are focusing on publicly owned lands, such as wildlife management areas, lake accesses, parks, schools, and pretty much what we want is land that is not going to be changing hands in the near future. Over the past few years, we've lost a number of deep wells in the metro area because someone has bought a new piece of property and they want to get rid of the well that we've been monitoring, and they're not interested in allowing us access to that. Historically, all of these criteria have been considered when siting wells. However, now that the ownership component is receiving much higher priority, which I said simply to keep ownership within the state, we're moving ahead with that. But as you can imagine, the metro area ownership becomes a real issue, and going on public lands and especially county parks in the metro, sometimes they just are not interested in allowing us on there, as well as us local units of government sometimes don't want us to footprint in them. Their sites either. Objective 2, collect, capture, transmit, and store SCADA-derived water level and pumping data that are currently being lost. Municipalities routinely measure and then discard water level data sent to their supervisory control and data acquisition, or SCADA, systems. On this map here, you get a sense of, which is data provided by MDH, you get a sense of how many wells are, or municipal wells, in the 11 County Metro. Obviously, we have hundreds and hundreds of potential target data sets right there. In the metro area, there are hundreds of municipal wells that could be monitored for both water level and pumping information. This project phase will develop techniques and demonstrate the feasibility of capturing these SCADA-derived data. As a first step towards this goal, we are currently working cooperatively with 3 municipalities and their consultants to provide for the collection, on-site storage, and daily transfer via the internet of water level and pumping rate data. These 3 municipalities alone will provide data from 29 production and 4 monitoring wells. These 33 wells are opened or screened into all of the major source aquifers available here in the metro area. In addition to the SCADA information, a number of appropriators are required by permit condition to collect and submit water level data from production and or monitoring wells they have installed within their city. Presently, these data sets are submitted to DNR in the form of spreadsheets, the data often having been keyed by hand. These data are in turn visually reviewed by staff and then archived for future use. It is hoped that through this phase of the project, we can automate the transfer of what could be a potential source of immense amount of data. In the current version of the funding bill, monies are identified to accelerate this phase of the project. The details of this phase await the outcome of the current legislative session, however. Objective 3, incorporate groundwater level and stream flow data from sub-networks. We will be working to incorporate data that are presently being collected in local groundwater networks. So far, I've identified 5 of these small local networks in the metro area. Valley Branch Watershed District is just one example of a local governmental unit that maintains their own groundwater monitoring network. Their network, located in southern Washington County, includes over a dozen water table wells and surface water monitoring sites situated in the headwaters area of the Valley Branch Creek. We will be coordinating with these networks and will actively work to incorporate this data into our database. We also are working on the development of a new data storage system. Currently, water level time series information is stored in several locations using a number of different types of databases. Over the past year, DNR, MPCA, and Met Council have been working jointly to purchase and develop a new statewide information system to house water quantity information. The system, which is to be built for these agencies by Aquarius, will replace existing data systems and provide combined data storage and processing capability for water-related time series and point data that are accessible and editable by state and local agency cooperators under a cooperative purchasing venture. It should be noted that this database will not house water quality data, but will link out to MPCA's Aquarius database. This new system will become the backbone for a portal-based data exchange. The above-referenced agencies are currently completing the purchase of the new system, and it will be built out and hopefully up and online in 6 to 9 months. Objective 5, collect continuous water level data using automated water level measuring devices, i.e. pressure transducers. Beginning with the Mount Simon project, DNR has been actively installing data loggers into network wells. Following completion of the newly installed observation wells, we are also immediately instrumenting them. For the past 20 years, DNR has utilized vented transducers for aquifer testing and to track water levels in a limited number of monitoring wells. DNR is now deploying absolute pressure transducers. The decision to utilize this technology was based upon a combination of concern for logger damage due to water leakage in vent cables and the quote-unquote relatively cheap cost to purchase and deploy absolute pressure transducers. There is one significant drawback to use of this absolute pressure loggers. All of the data must be corrected for barometric pressure change, and it has to use a barometer located within a 20-mile radius of your given well site. This is most easily accomplished by installing a series of barrel loggers, which are used exclusively for measuring barometric pressure, and then merge the data using software which automatically remove the effects of the barometric pressure changes. This data set here is just one quick example. The red is the corrected data, and the yellow is the non-corrected data. While the trend is upward, the specifics obviously are dramatically different between the two data sets. So, now a brief status report. With this project background, I'll briefly note our accomplishments to date. Since late 2009, approximately 30 monitoring wells have been installed and added to the 11 county metro network. Note that a number of these wells were replacements for shallow wells or Mount Simon wells drilled by Mr. Berg. For the past year, I've focused on installing wells adjacent to the Mount Simon wells completed by Berg and Pearson. This piggybacking will continue for the next several years as we build up more well nests in the metro area. To date, we've completed 3 bedrock well nests. This site down here is Vermilion River Wildlife Management Area. The second one is Starring Lake Access, which is near Flying Cloud. And the third, right up here, is on Robina Wildlife Management Area. The first wellness, which was completed at Vermilion Wildlife Management Area, has 5 wells. And I want to thank Scott Pearson, who isn't here today, but who put this log together for me. Mine was a lot less eye-appealing than his was able. The key thing to note here is the deep well, which is the Mount Simon, the water elevation is down here. The rest of the wells, which we have a Wanawak, a Jordan, a Prairie du Chien, and a water table well, all these water levels are very similar. Since installing data loggers at the end of March, we've already determined that the Prairie du Chien and water table mimic each other in response to spring recharge. The green is the Wanawak formation. It fits right up there near the those other two formations. But what was surprising to us is that the Jordan, which is the yellow line on the top, came in with the highest hit out of all the wells at the site. We've collected some data at the Starring Lake, and that well nest, which consists of a Mount Simon well, a Wanawak well, a Prairie du Chien Jordan, and a water table well, all kind of stand out like this. Just as we found down at Vermilion River, the Mount Simon is significantly lower than the other formations, but then you get the Jordan, or Prairie du Chien Jordan, I should say, which is up here, and the Wanawak are in very similar elevations, and then the water table, in this case, is just sitting all by itself up top. Third nest, which was constructed just last month, the Rubina WMA, includes 4 wells, the Mount Simon, the Wanawak, the Jordan, and a buried unit. What's interesting about these is all these water elevations are within several feet of each other. It'll be interesting to see how these track as we move forward with monitoring. To date, we've instrumented a total of 53 wells located at 33 different well sites. and data is just starting to come in on these loggers, data that I hopefully will be able to present to you sometime in the future. Oh, by the way, all the red dots are the sites that we've instrumented in. We have another 50 loggers that we plan to be placing out sometime here over the next 6 months. As mentioned before, we're actually working with three communities to develop the automated data transfer of water level and pumping rates, or pumping rate data. Hopefully this data stream will be up and running actually by the end of the month. So Scott Pearson always mentions that he wants to put a drill rig picture in his talks, so I had to throw this one out here. This is at Staring Lake, which we had a little excitement with the folks across the way with their $500,000 homes, and as we were working over the winter. Key thing is, looking forward, we will continue to drill and instrument new wells, cooperate with our network partners. We'll start to analyze what will be a huge data stream and hopefully build out a network that will provide the data for the next generation of hydros to make thoughtful and meaningful recommendations to our water managers. Thank you.